You're listening to an exclusive podcast series brought to you by Wired for Wonder, a proud innovation by CommBank and The Moment HQ. Prepare yourself as we take you on an eye-opening journey to ignite your curiosity, foster wonderment, and send inspiration bustling through your veins. Hello and welcome to the Wired for Wonder and The Moment HQ Soundbite Series. I'm your host, Monica Cade. Today we're chatting with Andy Lark, who is a globally awarded marketer, futurist, and leader in social and digital technologies. For the past two decades, Andy has worked alongside CEOs and their leadership teams to define and then attain digital and brand greatness for their institutions. Some of these include CommBank, IBM, Air New Zealand, and Xero, amongst many more. If you missed him at Wired for Wonder, please meet him now. Hi, Andy. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, you're welcome.
Cool. So tell me, what's been the driving force behind why you do what you do?
I just have a huge passion for challenging the way we think about emerging technologies and how those technologies can be used to build brands and the impact of those technologies are having on us. I think we get really excited about all the amazing stuff going on around us, and often the consequences, both positive and negative, are often not really clear to us until perhaps maybe it's a little too late. So I'm really excited about this idea that if we can start challenging a lot of the things that are just presented as best in class or best for us, we'll understand a bit better about how we can use this, the amazing, accelerating a range of technologies that are coming our way.
That's awesome. And then tell me, how do you foster creativity in your life?
I think there's a couple of ways. One is I'm a really big believer that you can't go wrong with by reading ridiculous amounts, but I think you need a system to do that. So one of the things I do is I have a really systematic way of consuming information, right? So I use Feedly, and I have a whole lot of feeds set up in there from sites that I follow, and I have some very specific prioritized places I go to consume information. And I think that that's what most people lack. They tend to get caught up just randomly, whatever appears in their feed, as opposed to, hey, you know, what are great sites that inspire me and challenge me and cause me to rethink things? Second thing I think you've got to do is surround yourself with people that challenge you. I think we have a tendency to spend a lot of time with people who we agree with or perhaps who satisfy us as opposed to those people that are really challenging us. So, you know, I really encourage everyone to go and read Jerome Lanier, everything he writes. Go follow the guy madly because the insights he's going to give you are off the charts. And I think the third thing I do is I kind of pick areas of study, right? So I think it's also really easy to just get trapped in consuming whatever lands on your desk or whatever a friend recommends to you, as opposed to saying, hey, look, I'm going to really go focus on Stoic philosophy for a month, and I'm going to try and read 4 books and listen to 10 podcasts and do et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the more you do that, man, it creates depth and intensity around things that you'd otherwise not get to. And I think that's amazing. I think it's really powerful. So those are 3 things. Read broadly, using a system to consume so you're not just getting attracted into random things. Really pick areas of study to go deep on, and go hunt out people that really challenge you, and give them time so that you can learn from them.
That's awesome advice. What amount of time do you dedicate for yourself in those areas, approximately?
I think it's really, really hard for anybody to say, I'm going to do it for 1 hour a day or 2 hours a day. So what I try to do is ask myself just the question, have I dedicated good time to that? Because what's really easy to do is to, particularly with the amazing range of cool content and stuff that's in front of us every day, to slouch down in front of the TV and watch more of the endless amounts of episodic programming coming our way, as opposed to saying, actually, hey, this is my reading time. I'm going to go read. I'm going to go and consume some really amazing things. And I'm going to have a place I do that, and I'm going to have a system for doing that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think without that, our spaces, like our living rooms and our offices and our kitchens, are just full of technology now. So it's really hard to find that space that you need to just check out and just go, okay, I gotta go and just, you know, do nothing for a bit here, and I'm gonna read an amazing book, and I'm gonna take notes, and I'm gonna study. Yeah,
exactly right. And so, would you say that a lot of the reading is what drives your curiosity?
I think reading does, but a lot of other things do too. Like, mm-hmm. I love art, so. Mm-hmm. And I'm really curious a lot of time looking at art and artists and things, and I spend a lot of time asking myself, is that right? Is that true? How do I know that's true? And that causes me to challenge a lot of things and rethink a lot of things. So, yeah, all of those things and more, really. I just think it's so important for you to build a system for being creative that works for you. So like one of the things I do is, even though there's absolutely no point to it, I take lots of notes on my iPad using my Apple Pen, mm-hmm. right? And that's about the silliest thing in the world to do because, you know, there's just no point to that. But I love doing it.
Do you think that it's also about maybe doing more of the things that just purely for the reason because they're joyful and enjoyable for ourselves rather than them also always having to have some sort of outcome?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think one of the things I often talk about is that there's been a real overemphasis in the past decade or two in business on leaders. So one of the things I have come to believe is that we've got this unnatural expectation of leaders in business. And what we've done is we've lost our focus on the makers, the people that do the work, that are into the craft of creating and building and making things. And I think what we've got to do is recognize that when you're a maker, you're not always clear on the outcome. There's something in the craft that you want to have there that leads you to uncertain destinations, and those destinations can be really incredible places to get to, right? So I think we've got to embrace this idea of the maker as someone who maybe is traveling to, you know, destinations we're not quite clear on.
I love that. That's a really great response. And tell me, what does innovation mean to you?
Innovation for me is a really silly idea. Because, I mean, innovation is something that people are pursuing without understanding it's largely something that people experience. Mm-hmm. And they attribute a value to it. So if I'm more innovative, I'm more clever, or I'm making more money, or I'm better. And yet some of the most innovative brands out there are actually quite uninnovative. They're just doing things really, really well. They're telling stories better, they're articulating their vision better, they're staying true to their purpose, they're doing things right. So I really get concerned about the innovation obsession, and I think if more people focused on their making capability, mm-hmm. and their capability to make, they would find that they would be innovating hugely more than they possibly are right now.
What's one of the greatest lessons that you've learned throughout your career about business and life?
Probably there's a couple of big lessons I've learned over my career. One is it's definitely a squiggly line. So just when you think it going straight and fast, you'll find you hit a curve and you're all over the map. Yeah, I think that first thing is it's definitely a squiggly line.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say the second thing is that you really have to stay really, really true to your purpose. And you have to stay true and to your integrity, not someone else's integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a real passion for just saying, you know, listen, this is what I stand for, this is what I believe, this is what I want to do. And look, if no one wants to come along for the ride on that, then I've got to go do something else. Mm-hmm. So I think that those two things are probably the most important, is that life is a squiggly line, and just when you think you're on the straight and narrow, you're not. And then secondly, you know, be true to yourself and don't judge success by anything you might read in the paper or elsewhere. You know, like, mm-hmm. you know, the pressure we put on ourselves to be the next Mark Zuckerberg or the next whatever is just ridiculous. How about being the next happy person and put an emphasis on what makes you happy and what floats your boat, and stop doing stuff that doesn't. You know, I think we get trapped in the mindless, endless sort of cut and thrust of work and things. So I think you've got to make time for yourself and make time to grow and develop and understand we're all imperfect, you know.
Mm. Do you feel like that's a lesson or an experience you've had in order to have that perspective?
Yeah, I think so. But I think you know, my experience is my experience, right? And I've learned that so often my experience is just so radically different to other people's experience. Mm-hmm. And I think you've got to define and figure out what matters to you, right? Mm-hmm. What matters to you and what should your experience be? And once you do that, you're off to the races. You know, you'll do amazing stuff, but you know, it's just my experience. So largely when you look at your experience, you realize it's actually pretty boring for everybody else. You know.
And now, can you tell me, what did you love about Wired for Wonder?
The thing I love about Wired for Wonder is there's always speakers that surprise me. And I get to go to a lot of conferences because I get asked to speak at a lot of events. And I think for me, there are two types of keynote speaker, right? There is those who get up and speak, and they're a mix of what I call infotainment, right? They're, mm-hmm. they're funny, they make you laugh, they give you a bit of insight, they challenge your thinking. That's really awesome, right? Mm-hmm. I think the second side of it is those people who have what I call real content, like really, really amazing content, and that content causes you to go, wow, I never knew that, right? And I think for me, there was a number of folks who spoke there that, you know, really caused me to go, wow, that's really, really different way of thinking. And but anyway, I think for me, it's just having people that surprise you, you know, that's awesome.
What would you suggest to companies who are wanting to adopt this idea of more play in the workplace? How can they bring that into their companies?
Well, I think what people need to do is in business is first of all understand that the probably the most defining control point in anybody's business is a calendar. It's a calendar that is a lens into how an employee is allocating their time. Mm-hmm. And I think there's this really interesting exercise you can do where you start every team meeting or every team session with, for a couple of weeks, you don't want to do this every week forever, but for let's say a month, sharing your calendar with each other and putting your calendar up on a screen and going, this is how I'm allocating my time. And the reaction I often get from people when they do that is, oh my God, I had no idea you were spending that much of your time going to bloody meetings. I had no idea. And I think once you do that, that opens your eyes up to a whole lot of stuff. Then the second thing you can do right behind that is you can then start to agree as a team on where you're going to allocate no-go zones. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Friday afternoons are productive for anybody, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you go into the workplace, you can sense it's like the energy's been sucked out of the room and people are kind of done. Yeah. And so I reckon there's this idea of saying, why not every Friday afternoon is playtime and that's your project time, and you present your project for the next month at the team meeting, this is what I'm going to work on, and you present it at the end of the month and you say, this is what I learned, this is what I did. And it's okay if you don't have a clear answer mm-hmm. at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you could at the end of the month just be like, oh my God, you know, well, it led me nowhere. I learned a lot, but it led me nowhere. Mm-hmm. So I reckon there's this really cool idea in here of just sitting back and going, one, unless we look at the calendar and understand how we're allocating our time, and then let's also flip that on our head a bit and figure out, if we were going to allocate time for play, how do we do that as a collective? Mm-hmm. Because where play gets broken is where I get really excited about my 3 hours that I allocate to writing and creating on Friday afternoon, and then Bob schedules a meeting. Mm-hmm. And I have to go to the meeting, because if I don't go to the meeting, Bob will sit there and say, well, you don't need to be there, it's all good. And I'm sitting there while I'm writing going, oh my God, I wonder what they're talking about. Are they talking about me? What are they doing?
Yeah.
Oh my God, what's going on? And that just kills you. It just kills you, right? You can't focus, you can't think. You know, so I reckon that for me is the two big things to get you going with play. And there's about 1,000 other things right behind that.
Mm. Oh, they're awesome. Such constructive little pieces of things that people can apply straight away. That's awesome. Before we finish off, I've got a few signature questions for you. So tell me, cool. If you weren't in your current career, what would you like to attempt?
Oh, I'd go back to being an artist for sure. So I'd go back to painting, drawing, you know, creating art, mm-hmm. doing that stuff. I just think it's where a lot of my heart is.
Awesome.
Oh, there's so many things to do. But, you know, I think largely I've been so lucky in my career to do what I love doing, which is I love building brands. I love introducing brands that matter to people. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty hard to beat that, I think, right?
Yeah, of course. Cool. Well, that wraps up our time, Andy. Thank you so much for chatting with us.
Not at all. You're welcome.